So the second talk, Teresa entitled Practical Applications. So I will try to do something. I thought to share with you, there's a group called, and there's probably many groups in the history of the church, Los Penitentes, the penitents. And it was groups of men in the southwest of the United States, in New Mexico. And they were laymen. And what they did is they formed these groups, and they did certain penances, and they had these chapels in the middle of the desert, miles away from, you know, towns and stuff like that. And they would meet there and sing hymns and pray. And these men kept alive the faith in certain parts of the United States for years. And it's interesting because while I don't imagine that you'll build a chapel in some remote place of New York State or something like that, that the idea of people coming together to intercede and to offer sacrifice for others is something that has been in the church for many, 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 many years. And the reality is that it's not like it's a sin if you don't decide to do, you know, if you don't decide to offer certain sacrifices today or make a certain commitment. But the thing that I would just propose to you is, and that's part of what I'll address in the talk, what will you do with your suffering? And how will you choose to love? Because loving is not an option. You're called to love. The question is, how will you love? And for each of you, there may be something that you do together, and the together thing is very important because that's the way God made us. He made us to support each other. And many times when we come together in prayer, and Jesus even says this, where two or three are gathered in my name, right? I'm present there with them. But each of you may have a unique path, or each of you does have a unique path, and each of you has a unique moment that you're in your life right now. And so there won't be a cookie cutter kind of answer to what do we come away with. But the proposal that there might be something of a unifying sort of prayer on behalf of others is a good one. But it's important that we let Jesus lead us in this. And it's important that we pray for the grace. And I was very struck this past week, just the first few days of Lent. The church actually, in certain prayers in the Mass, the priest prays specifically that we would have strength to do physical mortification. I was really struck by that. I was like, wow, I never saw that before. And we need to do that. Like, if we think, well, I'm just going to fast more, well, forget about it. That's pride. You need to ask God to help you. And you need to ask him what you should do. Because there's probably certain ways that you shouldn't do penance at this point. Right? And so we need to discover with God's help, what is the path forward for us? And we shouldn't think that we need to slavishly imitate any saint or any other person. We can be inspired. But it's always important to keep love first. But it's also important, and St. Therese is going to kind of be a patron saint to this talk, because she's sort of an accessible saint that people don't feel too afraid of, right? She herself didn't try to do big mortifications. But St. Therese, her oblation to merciful love, is this idea that I want to open myself to receive all of the love that you want to give me, God. And that should be the first kind of penance that you decide to do. I want to open myself to receive your love more and more. And that needs to always be our disposition. I'm not trying to do penance because I have something to offer you. I actually need you to offer me something. I need you to fill me with your love even more. And then I want to respond in some way. But it's always extremely important that we start with a stance of receptivity. Saying yes to God, opening ourselves to him. And again, listening to Our Lady who says, do whatever he tells you. And so again, just a part of this, situating ourselves before we talk about any sort of particulars for penance, it's really important that as we move into thinking about praying or sacrificing for others, that first of all, we're conforming ourselves to the truth that God speaks in our lives. And what do I mean by this? Because we may want to do penance because there's a lie in us, there's a lie that's been planted in our hearts that we're fundamentally bad and we need to prove ourselves to God so that he will love us. It's very important we don't enter into penance from a place of lies. We need to enter into penance from a place of truth. And the truth is, you are loved. You are accepted. God desires to show you mercy. He seeks you out. You do not need to prove yourself to him. And the lies that I need to be careful of, right? Because sometimes I may do penance because I feel I need to prove myself, or I may do penance because I feel I need to punish myself. Like I'm bad because of what I've done. And so to sort of justify how terrible I feel and how shameful I feel, I will do bad things. I will do things that are painful. And that's not the place that we should be entering penance out of, right? Because it is not God's desire that you would reject yourself or accuse yourself or hate yourself in any of those ways. And if the lies are still in your hearts that I'm hopeless, I'm trash, I'm bad, God is distant from me, he's given up on me, he's forsaken me, the first penance to do, if you still have some of those lies, is to reject the lies and resist them. That's the first penance. Right. Sometimes I tell people, during Lent, how about you give up beating yourself up in your head? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. And when you fail at not beating yourself up in your head, don't beat yourself up for failing. At least do that, right? And so again, we need to situate ourselves when we are considering doing penance for others with this: I believe that I am loved. Even when I feel bad, I believe that I'm loved. I believe that you are with me, God. I believe that you are a good father. I believe I don't have to prove myself to you. We want to start from there. And the other thing that I would say, just again, as a sort of a foundation, if you're going to offer sacrifice for others, to take on the heart of Jesus. And what do I mean by that? I just mean simply this. Maybe it's a particular person in your life that you're thinking of who's hurt you. Maybe it's a group of people. Jesus, give me your compassion, your forgiveness, your love, and your mercy for that person. Fill my heart with it. So I would really encourage you to ask Jesus to begin to fill your heart with his own compassion, because what we're trying to do is submit to his mission, come under his mission. And so to come under his mission more and more effectively, we want to take on his heart so that we begin to have mercy towards those who we're praying for, that we have compassion on them. We really need Jesus, though, to give that to us as a gift, and we need to ask for it. So we need to live in the truth, not in the lies. We want to take on the heart of Christ, trusting that we're loved. Okay. Now let me move into some practical applications, now that we've laid a bit of a foundation. The first kinds of penance that I'll offer you, I have under this title: take what you've got already and turn it into gold. Take what you've got already and turn it into gold. What do I mean? Don't think about doing any extra penances yet. Right? Maybe I should give up coffee for Lent. Don't even think about it. If you drink coffee all the time, don't even consider that. For the sake of everybody else, right? What we're looking at is simply what you have in your life already. Again, we don't want to talk about what you have in your life because you're living out of a place of lies, believing lies, but what you have in your life that are real, just honest crosses. And here, this is some quote from someplace. I forget where I got this from. In this life, we're prone to receive daily crosses which divine providence chooses to send us. These range from small trifling matters to huge issues, which can hang over our life. It could be anything from headaches, car troubles, financial problems, job terminations, family issues, spiritual difficulties. If we willingly and patiently accept these with the intention of making reparation, they're very meritorious. And the reality is that the saints assure us that these are more meritorious than things that we choose to do. And part of the reason, just to give you at least my own theological understanding of the background for that, would be this. Adam and Eve rejected God's will. Jesus Christ accepted the Father's will. And when we accept God's will in our life, in the reality of our life, and what's the reality? It's just like our life. Like, where are you today? And what are the heartaches you carry today? To accept them, but then to offer them. So it's important that we don't, right? If you've ever heard the story that Jesus brought somebody one day into a part of heaven and he showed them all the crosses because the person had been complaining about their cross. They said, Lord, I don't want this cross anymore. He said, okay, we'll put it down there and we can go pick a different one. So they walked around this part of heaven looking at all these different crosses and they tried on different ones. And he's like, well, that one's a little heavy, that one's a little awkward, that one's... Then he got to one, he's like, well, that one's better. He's like, well, that's the one you put down. We may not think he knows what the heck he's doing. And sometimes, to be perfectly honest, in my humanity, when I hear some people's stories, I'm like, are you serious? Did you just let that happen in their life? Like, sometimes it can be really hard to understand. And it's okay to be honest with God about those things. But then we need to pray and be open. Like, what do you want? What are you doing? What are you asking me to do? Give me the grace to be able to accept these things. And Saint Therese, again, little patroness of our talk here, she would talk about scattering rose petals. And what she talked about was the idea of like picking petals off of a rose to throw before God. But they were just the small inconveniences, pains of her day. But every one she would offer up to God. And when she had these little opportunities with love, she would pick and throw. Right? If you have your own image, that's fine. But for her, this was a big part of the little way. Just recognizing the suffering Christ in the small sufferings of her day and offering them. And then the other thing that you just have already that you can offer every day is the faithful discharge of the duties of your state. So what is that? Just the life that you've been given. So I'm a priest, I'm a friar, I have a few other titles, you know. Well, for me to do those things and to offer that to God as a sacrifice is more meritorious than if I fasted for 3 days or whatever. For you as a wife, a mother, whatever it may be, the state of life that you're in, to do what God has given you within that. And again, what does Saint Therese say? Small things, great love. You got it already. All I'm saying is be conscious of offering it also. Say to God, okay, listen, this is where you have me. These are the duties of my state. This is my job. Give me the grace to do this well, and I offer it to you as a sacrifice, giving it back to you. I don't know where this came from, but this is from a letter dated February 28th, 1943 to the Spanish Bishop of Gurza. Sister Lucy wrote, "Being in the chapel with my superior's permission at midnight, our Lord told me, the penance that I request and require now is the sacrifice demanded of everybody by the accomplishment of his own duty and the observance of my law." So Jesus isn't asking necessarily for great things, but that we would offer that which we have already. What is God's will for you? So, take what you've got already and make it into gold. The crosses you have, the duties of your life, God's will for you in the present moment. That is the strongest thing that I would encourage you in. But, the third point, excuse me, this is water, by the way. I may be attached to it, but I'm just attached to water at this point. So, the third point I just titled, I choose to stretch in love. Sometimes, we are called to stretch. And Lent is a great time to try. And there's a particular grace there. What are some fruitful practices that we can do in love of God, for love of neighbor, uniting our small sacrifices to the sacrifice of Jesus? The first one I would encourage all of you to do, because it's actually not like an option so much, it's just the gospel. But the first one that I really would offer you is forgiving others and forgiving yourself. I don't know that it's technically a penance, but I was talking to Father John Anthony and he really emphasized this. So I'm like, well, it's a great one to include. This is one of the most fundamental ways to release grace into the world. And I give talks about forgiveness that can last at least a couple of hours, which I won't do for you right now, but I'll just give you a couple of basic points. I have to forgive, or it's going to be fruitful for me to forgive, when I've been hurt. So if you've been hurt by somebody, it's important to forgive them. Sometimes we have to repeat forgiveness many times, especially if anger or resentment or stuff like that continues to come up, or bitterness. I always encourage people to forgive in the name of Jesus. And sometimes we need help to move through some of this stuff. In the name of Jesus, I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such, and I bless them. But this can be a place of deep transformation. And it can be a place of deep transformation for the other person too, even though they don't even know what's going on. So that's number one, just a brief thing. Number two, fruitful practice of penance. Gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise, especially for the things that I don't like in my life. It's a moving against the direction, right? The cross, the suffering, the sacrifice, the thing not going the way that I want. Especially if you have a melancholy temperament like me, this is a good penance for you, right? Lousy things happen, and I'm just like, oh, there it is again. This always happens. Terrible things. I don't want blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah. Right? A great penance. Jesus, I thank you for the good thing that you're going to bring out of this thing that I hate. Because you're going to do something good with this, even though I can't understand what it is, and I thank you now for that ahead of time, and I praise you. It may not be the first thing that comes to mind for penance, but I would propose to you that, again, it's putting into order something that's disordered. The disorder is, I don't really believe that God's going to do something good with it. I think it's a lousy thing. But no, I want to put back into order, and it then opens up a space of grace for others too. The third way that we can stretch in love: one, forgiveness; two, praise and thanksgiving; three, prayer. Now this is getting a little bit closer to the traditional ideas of penance. A very holy woman that I know got this word one day in prayer. Eucharistic adoration is our sackcloth and ashes. If you know from the Old Testament, very commonly people would show their signs of penance and would do penance, like if you read the book of the prophet Jonah, for instance, or other prophets. They put on sackcloth, which is very uncomfortable, apparently. I've never worn it, but apparently it's not a comfortable thing to wear. And they would sprinkle ashes on themselves and on their food to kill the taste as a sign that I'm sorry and I'm repentant for the bad things that I've done. And it was to move God's heart in showing their repentance. This person's understanding was that Eucharistic adoration is this place for us to come and to do penance. To be honest with you, I'm extremely grateful when I can come to Eucharistic adoration, so I don't feel like it's sackcloth. Well, some days it's difficult. But stay, right? But there's been a move within the church, and really, as far as I know, somewhat unprecedented, towards more and more emphasis on Eucharistic adoration. And surely there's a movement of grace here. And to be able to come to adoration, to stand before, to kneel before, to sit before the Eucharistic face of Jesus. And even if we're simply bringing people in our hearts to Him and spending time with Him, there's something that's a beautiful prayer here. And so I would strongly encourage you to make time for Eucharistic adoration in your day, in your week. We are transformed, and again, through the opening of our hearts, Jesus breaks into the world. The other form of prayer that I would just highlight is the rosary. Why is the rosary important? There's lots of different reasons, but I would just propose that, again, this can be a beautiful way of prayer, of intercession, of communion with Jesus, of being with Our Lady. And there may be other prayers too, but adoration and the rosary seem to have a particular strength and importance in our day and age. And the good thing is that in both cases, they're both really good for you too. Unless you do something crazy, you're probably not going to hurt yourself by going to adoration. Probably not. I'm sure anything is possible. Anything is possible. So ask Jesus how you should do it. And you're probably not going to hurt yourself praying the rosary. And then the last thing that I'll mention is insofar as a way to stretch in love. And let me introduce this. No, because I might forget. Okay. When I start to talk to myself, it's not good in the middle of a talk. I apologize. Don't want to forget this. With penances that I'm choosing to undertake, I'm going to feel stretched. It may be difficult, but it should not kill me. There should be a certain light and grace that comes with it, where it's not going to harm me in some way or take away from, again, the other two things that we've already mentioned, the crosses and the faithful duties to our state. And so I need to pray that I would choose wisely, not be afraid. Maybe He wants me to stretch and go to the 4 a.m. adoration hour once a week. Maybe He wants me to do that. And maybe He doesn't, depending on where you're at. Right? So we want to choose penances that are good, but that don't kill us. And we want to see if there's grace there for us to be able to enter into them more. You know, I know somebody who just got the idea of, you know, pray a rosary a day, another rosary a day. I just found that it was possible to pray four rosaries a day. Just over time, it just sort of came. Now, the last thing that I wanted to mention, forgiveness of others, number one, praise and thanksgiving, number two, prayer, number three, fasting. And fasting can take different forms. A really important form is fasting from food. But again, depending on where you're at and how things are going, that you may want to be very careful with that. Fasting from media. Many, many, many ways of using your phone or the internet. It can be good to fast from a lot of that stuff. A lot. Noise. And just as we talked before, that which you love more than God. But sometimes it's just okay. I just want to offer a little sacrifice for others. It may have nothing to do with what I'm attached to or what I struggle with. And there can be something beautiful in that. And of course, there's many other ways that we could. Yeah, I guess I would say this. You know, like, time is something that's so precious and we feel like we have so little of it. Sometimes I wonder if that's actually true. But to sacrifice a bit more time to read the Word of God, to sacrifice a bit more time to offer help to somebody, to call an elderly person, whatever it may be, these are other ways of fasting, right? Of saying no to that which I sort of am naturally drawn to, and yes to something of a sacrifice for the sake of God. Last part. So again, we talked about the foundation. I need to be doing this from a place of truth and believing that I'm loved. Second thing, I want to offer that which I already have. Third thing, some different kinds of penance that I could consider. And now the fourth thing, when do we offer? Like, how does this work? Of course, any time is a good time to be able to say to God, Jesus, I just offer this thing to you. I think for many people, a morning offering can be helpful. Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, sorrows, etc., 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 of this day, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. So offering to Jesus that which is going to transpire in my day. Also, you know, it's a bit of a shortcut, but just consecrating everything to Our Lady, just kind of, just like, okay, well, I just give it all to you and you figure out what to do with it. Makes it easier, right? But I would just propose to you, and I'm actually going to mention this in the homily also, and I'll conclude with this, that it's important to remember that our sacrifices, whatever they may be, and whatever the crosses in our life are rather small or very small compared to Jesus. And all we're ever doing is uniting our sacrifice and suffering to His sacrifice. And that's why they have merit. And this is, you are priests through your baptism. You're not a priest like I'm a priest. You're a priest like your priests. And what that means, you're baptized priest, prophet, and king. And that means that you can offer sacrifice to God in your own life. And this can really be pleasing to Him and fruitful for others. But when we offer sacrifice, it's always, there's only one priest. And it's not me, right? There's only one priest. The one priest is Jesus. I share in His priesthood in a special way. But all of us are only sharing in His priesthood. Jesus offered the one true sacrifice, which was Himself. He is both priest and victim. He offers a sacrifice to God that ends all the Old Testament sacrifices and fulfills them all. So it's through Jesus that we offer. Now, when does this happen, and when can we do this in a very particular way, and it's at Mass? Because at Mass, the sacrifice of the cross is made present in an unbloodied way on the altar. That's what we believe. And so in just a short time, we're going to have Mass today, a celebration of the Eucharist. What are you going to bring to offer? You can offer everything today. But be conscious. You can offer the beautiful things in your life. You can offer the difficult things. You can offer the little sacrifices. You can offer the crosses. He wants this to be fruitful, But this is particularly the place where we can bring our offerings and give them to the Father through Jesus, and then be in that place of receptivity. So some practical thoughts on this penance. This choosing interiorly to conform my will to God's and to do things to help things be put back into right order in my life and also in the lives of others.